I handed that out. Did everybody get one of those handouts? Okay. All righty. Well, there's as people come in, I'd like for everyone to have one because I want them to take them home with them. So bring them up here and I'll give them out to them as they come in. Yeah, you're going to need one bad, buddy.
Make sure
we might give him two of them. We've been covered up with opinion polls lately. I get them all the time. If you do business with somebody, they'll send you a, come right in, ma'am. Here's you. You get the prize for being last. You get to be recognized and embarrassed and everything all at once. There you go. I wouldn't have done that, but she's my friend, so I can do that to our friend. But we get all these opinion polls, and our business sends them out sometimes. One on a scale of 1 to 10, how did we do? How was your service? How was you greeted? Was the place clean? I get this from restaurants all the time. Was the place clean? Was the bathroom clean? Did they invite you to look at some of the specials? And all these different things, and you rate all these things, and they promise you they'll give you $1,000, you know, if you're the lucky guy that's drawn out. I was hoping Bobby Whitson would be in here today because Cracker Barrel does this all the time, and to see if they really give out that $1,000. I've never known, does anybody in here know anybody that ever won one of those things? I mean, there's 75, 80 people in here today, and if we don't know anybody that's ever won one of those things for filling out those questionnaires, it's a little discouraging about filling it out. But we want to rate everything, and everybody wants things rated. We rate our employees at our business, as small as it is. We call people in, our employees, and we set them down, we talk to them, and we let them tell us how they think they're doing. And then we tell them how we think they're doing, and then they get to tell us what they think of the company and of us as their employers. And then when they leave, we write down in their employee records what we think of them, that they probably won't ever see unless we have to fire them or something. But we rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. If they're rated 1, they're not going to be there much longer. If they're rated 10, then we're going to do whatever we can to keep them in their employment. And as I was thinking about this, and when I was asked to teach, I've been over in the Stepping in the Light program. And it's a very interesting program. It's for the new converts. And there's 9 steps in this Stepping in the Light program. And they go through those. And some of you all have been through that Stepping in the Light program. It's a great program. Great for young Christians to go through that and learn what the basics are of being a true Christian. And I've been over there teaching in that and trying to help in that some. And I was thinking about all this rating. And I thought, you know, this Stepping in the Light program is probably helping me a lot more than the people that I'm trying to mentor or trying to teach. Because those 9 steps, even though they're so basic, so fundamental, though, to our well-being as a Christian. And so many times, most of you all have been Christians for years and years and years. And I'm assuming this morning that everyone in here is a born-again Christian. And if you're not, then I hope that something will be said today that will lead you to that. And here's one of my Stepping in the Light guys. Jordan, glad to have you over here today. So that's what we're talking about, is the Stepping in the Light program. And Jordan and I have been going through this for a few weeks. And I was hoping he would get to come over today and make sure Leroy gets one of these. I don't know if Leroy... Did anybody not get one of these? All right. Don't want to leave anybody out. And believe you me, I have done this to myself all week long, pretty much. Have you ever wondered how God would rate you on a scale of 1 to 10? We're representing God every day. I heard one of our evangelists here one day said, we're ambassadors for Christ. We're Christ's advertisement. And If people don't see Christ in us, we're not giving a very good advertisement for him. He can't run ads on TV like my business does, try to get people to come into my business. But Christ runs his ads through us. And sometimes the ads are effective, and sometimes they're not. And if we were rated by God on a scale 1 to 10, and we're going to go through these 9 steps here in just a minute. I hope I can get through all of them. And I don't want you rating yourself right now and writing it down so your neighbor will see it. I want you to honestly rate yourself on these 9 steps. Maybe when you get home, or maybe during Jody's preaching or something. It'll give you something to do there. But if we don't pay close attention, he'll start all over again. So maybe you can do it during the choir singing or something, Mike. But I was just wondering how God would rate me. And it made me concerned that I take so much for granted that, hey, I've been a Christian for 60 years. And do I need to go back through this training again, start all over again, and refresh myself of the things that I'm supposed to be thinking and saying and doing as a Christian man? And I hope that this will speak to you all today too. It's a little out of the ordinary, and it is very, very basic. And it dawned on me as I've been dealing with Jordan and the other folks over there in the Stepping in the Light program that there's 9 steps that they have in that Stepping in the Light booklet that are really, really strong fundamental steps that each of us needs to be practicing about every day in our lives. If we're going to be a successful Christian, if you're going to be successful on your job, you have to know what the requirements are on your job, what your boss expects from you. You have to know what he thinks about you. If you've been messing up some way, or if you've been slacking something and didn't even realize it. And you know, in our Christian life, we can get slack in it and not even realize it. I found myself doing that so many times, and it embarrasses me to tell you that, but I needed to be awakened to the fact that I needed to be more diligent. I needed to be striving to get all 10s in these 9 steps. And unfortunately, I didn't have any of the steps that I was a 10 at. And some of the steps are really, really easy. So we'll get into those, and I want you to think about those. And I've got scriptures written down, but there's one mistake on that sheet, and it's the very first one. It's not John chapter 5, it's 1 John chapter 5. So everybody, if you've been looking up John chapter 5, wondering what in the world that verse had to do with anything in the lesson today, it's 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to have to get on the person that typed this out. Of course, that was me, so... But 1 John chapter 5, and I wrote down my page numbers, but I don't use a Scofield King James Version. I do use a King James Version, but it's a new study Bible that I have, so I've got my page number written down. Let me give her one of these. And I printed 76 of these, so we've just about got everybody covered. Thank you. Now, the first step in the book of Stepping in the Light, it says, know that you have eternal life. Now, I would think that everybody that's a Christian would know they've got eternal life. But I came from a denomination that did not believe that. They believed that you could be saved today and could be lost tomorrow. I never could wrap myself around that. But my father-in-law was a Free Will Baptist preacher and was as good a Christian man as I've known. And he believed that to the day he died. And that was the way he was brought up. And there wasn't any sense in trying to explain anything different to him. But there's people that you probably work with that believe that. And sometimes Satan will come to you as a Christian when you've really blown a situation, when you've really said something you shouldn't have said, or you've really done something that you know you shouldn't have done, and he'll say, well, you're not a Christian. You're not going to heaven. And that happens to Christians all the time. And you know what happens? It gets you discouraged. It gets you to where your witness is not worth a dime. And it gets you so down on yourself that the Bible is full of scriptures. And what scriptures I have down here today is just touching the fringe of these steps. It's nothing that goes into the depth that the Bible really goes into. But in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life." And that's enough for me to, I believe this Bible. I'm like Preacher Lassie. I believe it from cover to cover. I heard this preacher one time says, "I believe it from the index to the maps." He believed it all. And I have all my confidence in this Bible. If we did not have this Bible, how would we rate ourselves? This is our guidebook. This is our employee handbook. How would we rate ourselves if we didn't have something we could depend upon? And it's been proven down through the years. Down through the years, it's been faithful and true. And people have devoted their lives to this Bible. And today, this is the only thing we have. So this is what we're going to use. And so it says that we know that we have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. We'll go to there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And it says, "For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day." There's several more scriptures. We could spend the whole 30 minutes of teaching time going through scriptures that absolutely guarantee you after you're saved that you're saved for eternity. So you can rest on that. You can just depend on that. And don't let Satan, when you mess up, don't let him tell you. He's the father of lies, and that's all he'll tell you is a lie. Don't let him tell you that you're not a Christian because you messed up. And it's a good thing that you know when you mess up. It's a good thing that the precious Holy Spirit pricks your heart and tells you, "Hey, big guy, you messed that up. You said what you shouldn't have said. You thought what you shouldn't have thought." And it's a good thing for that to happen. But when that happens, you're just supposed to repent of it, get it straightened out, and then you tell the devil to take a flying leap off of a short pier or something. Now, the second step in the Stepping in the Light program says, realize you're saved for eternity. You can't lose your salvation. Romans 6:23 is a good scripture for that. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Look at John chapter 3 and verse 16. Backing up just a little bit. And I know we're going through a lot of scriptures today, and we may not get through all of them down to the last point, but I wanted to get through as many as we can. John chapter 10 and where was I? John chapter 3, verse 60. I should know that from my heart. That's the first Bible verse that I memorized as a little child. Back in my childhood in grade school, we had people that came around to our schools, public schools here in Washington County, and they preached the gospel. They gave out New Testaments to every little kid, second grader, that remembered or memorized John 3:16. So I got my little New Testament. I don't know whatever become of it. I wish I'd kept it. And I think today how much better our school system would be if we were still doing that, the first and second graders, and that we still had people that would come in there and proclaim God's word, and it was a free country to do that in today, which it's not. Unfortunately, we've lost a lot of freedoms by trying to be politically correct. But anyway, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that whosoever should believe in him shall..." Well, let me read it. I got mixed up on it. And I said, I had it memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Another verse that tells us that we have everlasting salvation. Now, since we have these things, and sin will come into our lives and get us discouraged or get us condemned, we have to deal with sin. That was the third step in the Stepping in the Light program. You deal with the sin on a daily basis. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, let's find that over close to Revelation there. Chapter 1, in verse 8. 1 John 1, 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, I've met a few people that honestly thought they never sinned. And they didn't realize that they were probably sinning when they thought that. And as well as I try, when I lay my head down on my pillow every night, the Lord seemingly reminds me of where I failed him that day and gives me some idea of what my rating was for that day. And I have to ask him to forgive me for where I failed him. And if you're not doing that as a young Christian or an old Christian or whatever, you're going to be a miserable Christian. That's all there is to it. You cannot live a Christian life without taking close account of where you failed and ask forgiveness. And I'll tell you what, not only do you need to ask for that forgiveness, you need to ask the Lord to help you not do the same thing over and over. I found myself so many times asking the Lord to forgive me for the same thing I asked him to forgive me for 2 weeks ago. And we get into that routine or something, I guess it is, and we have to learn how to break that chain of continually doing the wrong thing and continually say, well, Lord, forgive me, and go on. And next thing you know, there you are doing the same thing again. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, over in the Old Testament. Sometimes that's hard to find. I'll read it for you. If I can find Ecclesiastes again. I looked for it the other day really hard. Sometimes I get embarrassed when the preacher calls out a scripture. And Linda and I used to, when we were kids, we went to church together. That's how I got really in church, is because her dad would not let her date anybody that didn't go to church with her, which is not a bad idea. And it got me in a good church that even though they didn't believe in eternal salvation, they taught the word, and they were straight as an arrow, and I just appreciate it. If I have any talent about speaking or selling or anything else, I got that in my Sunday school class as a teenager at Central Free Will Baptist Church. Alan Campbell was our teacher. I saw his wife the other day at Lowe's, and I told her to thank him because I was thinking about this lesson, and I was thinking about being able to stand up for 79 people and speak to them about something, and I learned that as a teenager. He would make us, or let us, whatever you wanted to call it, I thought he was making us do it, but every once a month, he'd have a different teenager teach the lesson. And that's how Linda and I both learned how to teach and speak to people about the Lord. But anyway, and let's get back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. And let me find that right quick. Chapter 7 and verse 20 of Ecclesiastes says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." I don't know how much plainer you can put that. Lots of times we see people's sins because it's blasted all over the internet and all over Facebook and all over the news and all that stuff. But as a matter of fact, your neighbor's not going to be a person that commits no sins. You're not going to be a person that commits no sins. And so you need to take care of it on a daily basis. Sometimes I have to take care of mine on an hourly basis. I can't wait till the end of the day because I realize it usually immediately. And I just have to ask the Lord under my breath or something, Lord, forgive me for thinking that. Lord, forgive me for saying that. Lord, help me to control my temper. Help me to control my emotions. And so you need to deal with that sin. And there again, these are just basic things. I mean, this is not getting into something that's really, really, really deep. We all ought to know this. How do you rate yourself at that? Are you taking care of that? Do you rate a 1, which would be poor on doing that? Or do you rate a 5, which is about average? I'm keeping up with Larry. So you don't, I'm not your, I don't scale your life by my life or by anybody else's life. Scale it by what the Lord thinks and strive to have a 10 on all of these things. Number 4, it says follow the Lord in baptism, which we don't have any problems with that. I'd say most everybody in here has been baptized. If you haven't been baptized, the Bible teaches you that you should. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Now, I've also been involved with some folks that there was a little church right down the street from me when I was growing up, Church of Christ. 5 people in that church. And I would go down there by myself as a little kid, and they finally told me to go home and not come back until my parents came with me. Because I was worse than any bus kid, but I walked down there. They couldn't send me back home on a bus. They didn't have a bus. And I just lived a block away from the place. But I've never forgotten that. But there was good people in that church. But they believed that you had to be baptized to be saved. And they could take some scriptures, and they just twist them to where they feel like that's the thing for them. But look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And it says that, then they that had gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day, and the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now you talk about a bunch of baptizing. That was a bunch of baptizing going on. For 3,000 to be baptized. Now, I don't know how in the world they did that, or it may have been over a period of time, but the Bible plainly teaches us that after you're saved, you should be baptized, and that's kind of like saying, hey, world, I'm a new person. I followed Christ because Christ believed in baptism, and our church believes in baptism. This church believes in baptism, and this is one of the principles that we start all of our new converts out on, that you must be baptized after you're saved. There's another scripture there, Acts 18 and 8, since we're in Acts. 18 and 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. So undoubtedly, Paul, as he was doing his missionary journeys or doing his preaching, that's one of the first things he taught the people. After they were saved, after they believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior, they got baptized. Now, the 5th thing is getting in something that when we rate, I guess we could all rate ourselves on number 4, at least a 9. And I hope that we could rate ourselves as a 10 on being baptized, following the Lord in baptism, believing that. That's fairly simple and fairly easy. But number 5 is where the rubber meets the road lots of times for me. Spend time in God's Word daily. Sometimes I do this daily, but I have to make myself do it. And I guess I look at sometimes like it's my job requirement as a Christian, and because there's certain things as job requirements on our worldly jobs, but nearly every time, and I'm about to finish the Old Testament, and I'll be glad to get into the New Testament, but I've been reading the Old Testament, and some of it got a little tedious in reading, but I've learned, I taught a lesson on this a long time ago about God's promises that are in the Bible. So every time I sit down to read the Bible, I try to look for a promise from God. There's over 30,000 of them in the Bible, a lot of them in the Old Testament, applying to the Israelites and the Jewish nation, but you can apply them to your own life. But when you get in the New Testament, there's tons of promises in the Scripture. And it opens up the Scripture, makes it a little more pleasant. And you say, Lord, I'm going to take that promise. I depend on that promise. But anyway, in Psalms chapter 33, and we'll be in Psalms here in just a second. Psalms chapter 33 and verse 4. Let me find that. 33 and 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his words are done in truth." Psalms 19:7, back up just a little bit. Let's read that one. Psalms 19:7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I tell you what, it's helped me in what measure wisdom I have about Christianity. I learned it by reading the Bible. I've been in churches, been in three churches in my lifetime, basically. I've been here for 20-some years. And every now and then, I don't care who the preacher is, we'll have some people leave, and if you get to question them, or if you're out on visitation inviting people to come to church, "Well, I used to go to such and such church, but I just wasn't getting fed." Have you ever heard that? Well, so many times people are not getting fed because they're not feeding themselves. We're young people. We're young Christians. I don't care how old you are. You're still a young Christian. And a baby or a two-year-old or a three-year-old, if you don't feed them or if they don't start feeding themselves, pretty soon there's something wrong with them. About 2 or 3 years old, well, they learn to eat on their own. And so many times people say, "Well, I'm not getting fed by that preacher or by that teacher." And it's their own fault. Because you're going to spend an hour here today, 30 minutes with me, 30 minutes with Pastor Jody, and we can't possibly feed you all you need. There's just no way we can do it. We can hit on verses that you might pay attention to or might prick your heart, but you need to read this word every day. Make it a part of your life, just like getting up and eating breakfast. Make this a part of your daily life. Start your day with reading some scriptures. Now, some people, they can read the Bible through 4 or 5 times in a year. Well, I can't do that. Or I guess I'm too lazy to try doing that. Or I don't want to devote the time to that. But I do want to devote the time to reading the scriptures and trying to get something from it. And you're not going to have a successful Christian life. I don't care how old you are, how much you come to this church, or how much you go to anywhere else, or how many message you listen to on TV or anything else, if you don't get this Bible out every day and read something out of it, if it's a chapter or a verse or 20 chapters, whatever it takes for you to get something out of it, you need to do that every day. And that's one of the simple points in Step Into Light program. It's point number 5, spend time in God's Word daily. Number 6 is talk to God in prayer. That's another place when I rate myself, and I pray every day, sometimes 2 or 3 times a day. But how much of that prayer is a prayer that absolutely reaches God and reaches heaven with my affinity of the prayer, that I'm really praying from my heart? Let's look in talk to God in prayer. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark. Mark 1:35 says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out." And this is speaking of Jesus. "He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Now, if Jesus, the very Son of God, who was God, actually in flesh, he thought it was necessary to pray to his Heavenly Father, and he lived a perfect life, how much more should we spend time in prayer every day? And praying for people that, and Diane is really good about this. Diane, I appreciate you always have somebody that you're praying for. I can see it on Facebook and see it on, and that's a good thing to put on Facebook, praying for somebody, rather than what a lot of folks put on Facebook. But And I'm not a big follower of Facebook, but I like to see the pictures of my grandkids that are on there. So anytime you want to look on my page, you won't see anything that I've done, but you'll see all the pictures of those lovely grandchildren that I have and all the activities that they're into. But we need to pray for other folks. I have a prayer list that sometimes it takes me 30 minutes to get through the prayer list, because there's so many people, and my memory is not nearly what it used to be, but the Lord brings those people to my heart that they need. I remember many times prayed for Karen and Melina's dad and for others that have passed on. And the Lord didn't seem that he answered their prayers, but those folks we prayed for, we did our duty. And they have been praying for other folks. And I pray for folks that got cancer. I have so many friends that got cancer today. And if you don't want to pray for them, just thank the Lord that you don't have cancer. And thank the Lord that you're able to get out of bed. And thank the Lord that you're able to go to work. I thank the Lord every day that I've got something to do that day. And that I'm not laying in a nursing home wondering if anybody cares about me or thinking about me. Or anybody going to come and see me. And so it's, oh, definitely. I mean, I can have an ingrown toenail and I want somebody to pray for me. I can't take pain very well. But, I mean, we all need to learn to pray for others and pray for yourself. And I pray for my family twice a day. I mean, they need it because they had me for a father. And I didn't set that good of an example. I was at my other grandkids. They had a wedding anniversary party for them last Thursday, and I was there, and their daughter got up and testified. She said, as a little girl, I'd go by my dad's room every night going to bed, and I'd see him down there on his knees. And she said, I knew that his knees hurt him and that his knees bothered him, but he was down there every time she passed that bedroom door and it was open, she'd see him on his knees praying. And boy, that spoke to me that I wish my kids had seen me praying more. I wish my kids had seen me doing what I should have been doing. So when I rate myself on this spending time in prayer, talking to God every day, 0.6, I'm certainly not rating a 10. And I should be. If I get really sick, I'll probably start rating a 10. Or if I get really in a problem, which I've had a few problems, very few problems in my life, but when I get into a problem, I start rating a 10 pretty good, because I don't hesitate about it. When we should be praying and rating a 10 is when things are going good and we're praising God and we're thanking God for all of his blessings that he's given us. And so we need to be praying every day. And point number 7, and most of you rated a 10 so far today, attending church faithfully. This is something we try to teach the new converts. Stay in church. And we're not going into the scriptures right quick, and I'll cover these other points, and you can read the scriptures when you get home. But how many times do you skip church when you don't like the speaker that's going to be speaking? Or you don't like, maybe some of you would have skipped today had you known Gary was gone. But how many times have I said, boy, I'm tired. It's Wednesday night. And we've had a long day. I never work hard. I just have long days. But I still get tired. And I said, I don't want to go to church. But Linda, she says, I'm in the car. Where are you? And so I say, well, I better get up and go, because Linda's going to be all over my case. And I worry more about her being on my case than I do the Lord. I said, the Lord knows I'm tired. She doesn't think I'm tired. She thinks I'm faking. But so many times we skip church service for the least little thing. Now, sometimes you have to work. Sometimes you may be doing whatever that you have to do, and the Lord understands it. But we need to be in church every time the doors open if we can possibly be here. And you know, the young crowd anymore, and most of you, we have some young folks in here today, and I'm glad you're here. But the young folks and a lot of churches, they just don't see it that way. They, at least a little thing. And a lot of churches now, they don't have Sunday evening services or Wednesday night services. These community churches, all you folks that like to skip church, that's be a church that you'd feel welcome at. Because they just, that's the general feeling of people. I think we need to be in church every time the doors are open. We've got a good church to come to, and we ought to be thankful that we're able to come to it, because there'll be a day that you'll have a legitimate reason for not being here. And the Lord will bring that to you sooner than later if we're not careful. But anyway, when you get home, the last thing, and of course, I didn't get into some of the real good things, give to God, talk about tithing, and telling others about Christ. That is so important that we get, and I'm sorry that my rating is not nearly what it should be. I don't have a problem with tithing. I learned to do that as a very, very young man and or a young boy. And I've never, my wife, she calls me on it. If she makes out the check, or she makes sure the cash is there or whatever it is. And I'm thankful for her for that. And the Lord has blessed us beyond measure. Not maybe financially, but I've got 5 kids and 6 grandkids that are all pretty healthy. And Linda and I have always lived well above our raising, and we've always tithed. Sometimes it was a little tough to come up with the tithe, but she would make sure the tithe was paid where the house payment was paid. Now, that may sound stupid to some folks. If we got any bankers in here, it probably sounds stupid to them, but that's the way she felt about it. And if we had to skip something, we'd skip something to make our tithe. And so that's one of the important points that we're trying to teach the new converts. So thank you for listening so close. Do take those papers home, read over them, and rate yourself, and see what your average is when you get down to the bottom of the page. Hopefully you'll be above a 5 at least. And if you're not, you need to look at those points where you're slipping in and try to pick them up like I've done. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day again. I thank you for this lesson that you gave to me. And I hope that these folks in the class will take it to heart, and they'll rate their own lives. And let us see how you look at us, dear Lord, and how we measure up to what you expect from us as Christians. We can never give back to you what you've given to us, especially as far as eternal life and health and all the material benefits that you've given us in this class today. And so I just pray that we would look at our lives and examine ourselves to make sure that we're doing all we can do to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.